AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Welcome back to Your Health. Again, a brand new program here on KNSI featuring local health experts from CentraCare. These folks, healthcare professionals that live here, that get impacted by the same health factors that impact you and your family, which is one of the reasons why I think this program is so important here in central Minnesota. One of the things that we are going to talk about is your children. Pam Beckering is with us. Pam is the ACEs coordinator. And Pam, I have to think I am not alone in not even knowing that ACEs existed at CentraCare. Is that about right?
That's about right. Even though the study came out about 21 years ago, it's just now starting to pick up steam as science starts to back up all of the information that was found and realized in that first study.
You know, I can imagine backlash that some folks are saying, oh, come on, we already coddle our children way too much. You're nodding your head. Is that something that has happened?
Yep, I hear that. And I also hear, you know, great, everybody, we're going to be supporting everybody because now they have an excuse for not being accountable. And I think the important thing is what this information gives us is just another way to approach things, not getting rid of that accountability, but really saying, allowing us to understand what's happened to these individuals and how does that affect their performance in the workplace? How does that prevent them from achieving in academics?
Just being successful.
Or just being successful, yeah.
Wow. All right, so how do we know that there is something going on in the family? How do I know that there's no reason to walk on eggshells? Yes, you can discipline your child. Yes, you can ask them to clean their room, that sort of thing. Or how do I know that there is something that could really be wrong?
I think, you know, there's a couple of ways. One way is there's an ACE quiz that is taken that a lot of places are now using. Behavioral Health at CentraCare now uses that for all their intakes. Mm-hmm. The pediatric clinic is looking at implementing that into their one of their questionnaires, and it's a 10 question yes or no answer. We know that 64% of the population has an ACE of one or more.
64%? That's almost two-thirds.
Yes. A significant amount.
Yes, huge.
Yeah.
And how do these adverse childhood experiences manifest themselves? And at what point in a child's life do they start to pop up?
A lot of them pop up and when they go to school, or I think every individual is different. So we know that some of the genes that are turned on and off we won't know that anything happened until they're in their pre-adolescent years when those genes would get turned on, and they're not being turned on. So we all know the kid that was the ideal, perfect child up until a preteen, and then all of a sudden just started hanging out with the wrong crowds, getting suspended from school, not being academically successful. Those are the kids where you kind of go, ah, I wonder.
Some people then again would say, it's just a kid being a kid, just going through a phase, right?
Right.
So at what point is this a little more serious than that?
I think it's when it starts interfering with the quality of their life. Mm-hmm. But we also know the long-term health effects. When I started in the healthcare field, we had people in the ICU that were in their 80s and 90s. Now we have people who have chronic illnesses that are debilitating that are in their 40s and 50s. Something's changed amongst everything. And I think so often we look at things and we look just at the snapshot of time. We don't go back and look at what happened to cause this all to manifest itself.
Not only that, but how do you go back and find out? Because if this is when a child is 2 or 3 years old, they're not going to be able to tell you, are they?
No, they're not. And so there's evidence-based therapy that actually will address these issues if the trauma happened to the child before the age of 3 when they didn't have the words mm-hmm. to tell them. And there's a lot of trauma therapy for adults too. You know, I think for me, the biggest way to look at this is prevention. Is looking as a parent and going in and saying, how can I form that really predictable, compassionate attachment with my child? Or if you're in school, how does the cook do that? How does the librarian? Because not all parents are capable of doing it because of their own trauma. And that's not an excuse. It's just the way it is. It's changed their DNA. So growing up, I was always told, you know, you always heard your parents say, well, they just need to pick it up and pull it up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, suck it up.
Suck it up. You know, you can do this. And that's not always the case. I think it's more that what happened to them when you see those individuals. So we know homeless people have one of the highest number of ACEs. We know that the LGBTQ also do. We know the criminal system does.
this is, again, brand new information, and it's hard for me to process all of this and still be able to carry on the conversation. I would be one of those doubting Thomases just because of the business that I'm in right now. But again, if these genes are being turned on and being turned off, are we finding ways yet to identify which genes those are? Right, gene therapy, can we go back in there and flip those switches back again?
I don't know that the science has gotten that far yet, but actually the epigenetics, which is the study of the generational trauma, and how, and I know that epigenetics is now even looking at things like the cancer genes or the heart disease, the genetic piece. And we know that trauma can also affect things that we thought were once just genetic, like schizophrenia or bipolar. And so I think it's always having in the back of that mind and that awareness that this could be trauma, and then treating it as a population instead of an individual, because we do a very good job of treating individuals in that snapshot, but we don't know what's on either side, and then we don't really take care of it. And so then we see our people that keep coming in and keep coming in. We see the kids that keep getting kicked out of school. So I think a big part of this is really creating an awareness so that we always have that question in our mind if we see something abnormal is, like, what happened? The other part is prevention. Huge prevention is really helping parents to be – we can all be better parents.
Sure.
Just really working on realizing that that connection and that most important time in that child's brain is from birth to 3 years old.
Okay, so everybody is different. Every child is different. Every adult is different. How do I know that if I'm having an argument with my spouse, how do I know that that is going to have an adverse childhood experience or make that happen with my child? I really don't, do I?
No, you don't.
So does that mean then that we really need to come up with new ways, new rules of being parents? Don't argue in front of the kids, that sort of thing? Because that's just part of life sometimes.
That is part of life, and I don't think that's a realistic part of life.
Right.
I think it's really developing that attachment so that the kids can come up to her. You can have that conversation and saying, you know, even though we argued, they see that mom and dad are
– still love each
other.
They're
right. Still talking to each other. It was just a moment in time, because I think if we hide that, then we're also creating an unrealistic expectation that nobody – argues.
Going to school today here on Your Health, AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. We are talking about ACEs with the ACEs coordinator. Her name is Pam Beckering. ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And folks, if you're like me, this is all brand new. And it's rather scary, unsettling, too.
It's very scary.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back and put the wraps on our conversation about ACEs with Pam Beckering, AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI.